Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Brother Doug asked me if I would share a short word with you guys tonight and told him I'd be happy to. So if you would, turn with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, a very familiar passage that you've probably heard preached and taught many times. But tonight we're going to look at it in perhaps a little different light than maybe you've heard before. John chapter 12, would you all stand with me? We're going to read the first 11 verses of John chapter 12. And look at four particular characters in this narrative. John chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And so they gave a dinner for him there. And Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. And Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge over the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you will always have with you, but me you will not always have." Verse number 9. So when the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he'd raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for your word. I thank you for the praises that we sang. I pray, God, that you would just speak through your word to each of our hearts tonight as we talk about these four individuals and where they were in their life and how they viewed Christ. May we look inwardly and see where we, each of us, are and how we view your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So just for a few minutes tonight, I want to look at four differing attitudes. We're going to look at Martha, Mary, Lazarus, and Judas, and see how their attitudes and their actions melded with what was going on with Christ at this time. This is shortly after Lazarus had been raised from the dead, and that's a wonderful story for another time. But Jesus goes back to their home. And Martha is the first person that we come into contact with in the home. They have prepared a dinner, a supper for Jesus there and his disciples. And Martha is the first one we see. And what is she doing? She's serving. She's cooking. She is in the kitchen preparing food for her Lord, her master, her friend, and all of his followers. And we've seen Martha doing this before. You've probably heard it taught, do you have a Martha's heart? And what we mean by that is a servant's heart. Martha truly had a servant's heart. She was busy working for her Lord. Every time we see her in Scripture, she's busy working for her Lord. Even occasionally at the expense of her own walk with the Lord. You remember in Luke chapter 10, we see Mary and Martha, and Martha's in the kitchen again. And Mary's sitting in there listening to Jesus teach, and Martha gets frustrated. And she comes out and she says, "Lord, I'm in here doing all this work and my sister's just sitting there doing nothing. Tell her to get up and help because I'm busy and she's just sitting there doing nothing." And Jesus reprimands Martha. But one thing we know about Martha is Martha loved to serve her God. She was likely very content and very pleased to be nothing more than a servant at the master's table. So I have a question for you now. Are you a Martha? Are you one of those who loves to serve your Lord? You don't care about being recognized for it. You don't care about the limelight. You don't care that you're washing dishes. All you care about is that you are serving your God behind the scenes, taking care of the things that need to be done. I can look around this room and there's a lot of Marthas here, men and women both, who I see serve day after day in this church. And a lot of people don't know. If you're not up here every day, you don't know who comes up here and cleans and who takes care of things and who makes sure everything's ready for the different events and ministries that Victory has. Are you a Martha? The second person I want to talk about is Mary. And when we see Mary, she is taking a vessel of expensive nard, expensive ointment, and she is anointing the feet of Jesus and wiping it with her hair. In Mark chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus says this about in the same instance. He says, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be spoken in memory of her. This woman became famous for this particular act of love that she showed. Martha had a servant's heart. Mary was a woman who loved her Lord. And she loved Him extravagantly. She loved Him, giving Him the very best she had. Now, this was very expensive. But not only was it very expensive, it was the best that she had. Amen. It was probably worth a year's wages. This one vessel of perfume was probably worth a year's wage to the average worker. That's a lot. But don't focus on the financial part. Focus on how much it meant to her and put that in context with how much Jesus Christ meant to her. She broke it and she put it on His feet. And then she wiped it with her hair. She took something, the very best she had. Are you a Mary? Are you faithfully serving? Do you love being at the feet of Jesus, hanging on every word spoken by Him? Do you love studying His Word? Do you love communing with Him, sitting quietly in prayer time? Maybe not always serving, but always listening to God. Is that where you are in your life? Sometimes we're in both of those places. But are you the Mary, the one who God is good? Remember, Jesus just raised her brother from the dead. The only person that perhaps she loved as much as Christ on some scale was her brother Lazarus. And Jesus had just brought her back, and now she loved Jesus even more. Has God done something amazing in your life that causes you to just want to sit and listen to His Word? Amen. And talk with Him and just be with your Lord? Are you a Mary? The third person we see is Lazarus. Now, Lazarus is not talked about a great deal in Scripture other than with just a couple of different stories. But Lazarus was brought back from the dead in front of a huge throng of people. Could Lazarus have received any greater honor than sitting and eating dinner at the king's table, at the master's table? Was there any place that Lazarus would have rather been than sitting at the table beside Jesus? Just to be able to be invited, to be seated with God. How awesome was that? Are you a Lazarus? It's interesting in verse 9, and I missed this for years. But in verse 9 through 11, we see this. It says, when a large crowd of Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of Jesus, but also because of Lazarus. And it said that they sought to put Lazarus to death as well as Christ, because on his account, many Jews were leaving the Jewish faith and becoming Christians. Not on Jesus' account, but on Lazarus' account, on Lazarus' testimony. Lazarus, his very existence, brought people to faith. Is that you? Are you someone who walks through town, and because people see you, their faith in God is greatened, is heightened, just because they are around you? Oh, what to be a Lazarus. That's what I want to be. I want to be someone, when I walk into a store, people say, that man right there has faith. He loves his Lord. And it puts a smile on their face just to be around. That's what I want. I want to put a smile on people's faces, not because I'm funny or goofy or silly or whatever it is that I am, but because I love my God and I have brought people to know Him. That's what I want to be. Every part of Lazarus' life was a testimony of the power of Jesus Christ. I know some people like that. I know people who've spent years and years in prison, third strike and they're out, and have got radically saved and radically changed. Brother Bruce Betts has been in this pulpit two or three different times, and he's one of those men, was a drug dealer in Hattiesburg, Mississippi for years, and now he is preaching to those same people he used to sell drugs to. And he's seeing people saved week after week after week, radically saved. His existence tells people there is a God. What a testimony. And then we see Judas. Oh, Judas. the voice of criticism. Am I a Judas? So far, not this week. It's just the beginning. But chances are by the end of the week, at some point, I may be a voice of criticism. Often repeated among Christians, a person who does not work for the Lord, but knows exactly how somebody else ought to do it. The person who sits back there and says, I wouldn't have done it that way. If it had been me and I'd have had that job, I'd have done it differently. But they don't ever do anything. They just want to tell you how to do it. Everyone knows a Judas. I've been a Judas. Perhaps you have too. Often the case among non-believers, the person who will tell you they don't believe in the Bible because it's wrong, it contradicts itself, yet they've never read it. They have no context on which to base their assertions. But they'll tell you that they don't believe it because it's wrong. The voice of criticism, who followed Jesus for three and a half years, and all he could do was criticize this extravagant act of love. So my question, I have one question for you tonight. Who are you? Are you a Martha? Do you have a servant's heart? Incidentally, servant surveys are still out. And I have barely looked at them because it's been a busy month. But that's coming this week. And I feel certain that I am going to be in need of a few more Marthas before I'm done. And I mean that for masculine and feminine. I'm going to need teachers. We're going to need workers. We're going to need helpers. If you hadn't filled a servant survey out when you get your packet for business meeting, go get one and fill it out. Do you have a servant's heart? Are you a Mary? Are you someone who loves her God because you recognize what He's done and who He is, and you just want to shower Him with the best that you have? There's nothing too good for your God. Is that your heart? Are you a Lazarus? Has God done something extravagant in your life and you just want to be with Him? And you are honored that when people look at you, they see Christ. You are like a giant arrow pointing to your Christ. Is that you? Or perhaps are you a Judas? Someone who can do nothing but criticize. I dare say each one of us has played each of these parts at some point in their life. Sometimes during the same week. But anyway, who are you tonight? That's the question I want to leave you with. I told Brother Doug I'd keep it short because it's a business meeting. That's my question. Who do you identify with in this story?